just takes 1 second.
Okay.
Good afternoon to all.
I'm very glad to be here with you, and thank you for coming to share this important issue on human resources for health in globally. We have lots of expectations about this panel because there are so many different discussions and debates on human resources for health related to migration. International migration is one of the main issues related to human resources for health, which has been a global issue, has become a global issue in the global agenda for health. And you may know that in our region, in the Americas, from 2004, we started a regional movement related to human resources. In 2005, we did the regional consultation in Toronto, and we produced, all countries were represented, and we produced a regional call for action for human resources for health. And we decided that there were 5 critical challenges on human resources, and the third, as Karen said, is related to migration of health workers. But then in 2006, WHO produced a global health report related to human resources for health, and one of the main issues were migration also. So this is a global issue, and it is being debated in most of the forums on human resources for health in the world. So we are going to see 2 or 3 slides related to the global picture or regional picture, and then some characteristics of the migration of human resources for health in our region, trying to highlight the main points, because research has been being done a lot and we have a lot of information. And finally, what is PAHO doing in relation to this issue of migration within the framework of the global code of practice, the global WHO code of practice. So first, first slide is showing you the global picture. This picture operates not by numbers or by rules, but by obesity or malnutrition of the countries in relation to the density of nurses or the density of doctors. So you can see there the density of nurses in Japan. See, this is Japan. And see the density of nurses in Africa, or in Europe, which is the highest density, or in Argentina. It doesn't appear so in the. But then you will see doctors here, and you see the obesity of China, even the U.S., even Cuba. You have Cuba here, but see African countries. And then you look at both, and you will see the imbalances. This is a global picture, and is telling you almost about all. In fact, shortage, maldistribution, inequities, is now the problem of human resources for health in the world. And when WHO is talking about human resources, it's focusing on doctors, nurses, and midwives. So those are the categories that we are working. But then I will show you the regional picture, some issues about the regional picture. There is a different model of covering health services in our region. English-speaking Caribbean countries, the model is more doctors than nurses. More nurses and doctors, as it is also in the United States and Canada. You see there, nurses are red and doctors are green, and you see the difference. In the English-speaking Caribbean countries, most of the health services, and specifically public health and primary care services, are led by nurses and operated by nurses. But then, see the model of the Latin American countries, and you will see much more doctors than nurses, except for two. For Cuba, this is Cuba, more nurses than doctors, and also, of course, for, this is quite difficult to hear, Puerto Rico. But the rest, much more doctors than nurses. The extreme are Argentina and Uruguay. In Argentina we have around 5 doctors by nurse, and in Uruguay from 6 to 10, it depends on the part of the country, doctors than nurses. So this tells not only on the bad distribution but also on the migration issues, the out-migration, but also the internal migration issues of human resources for health. So, the point is, as a general framework, we need to say that even when now the migration issue, the migration phenomena is more intense, we as humanity were constituted, were built migrating. If migration would have not occurred, then we wouldn't have a humanity. So this is a human process. This is a human characteristic. Second, I told already, and Karen also, one of the critical challenges and 3 of the 20 regional goals of human resources for health in the Americas, that is the resolution of all of the governments in the Americas, are related to migration. Those 3 goals say that there is a need for self-sufficiency of human resources for each country, that we have to adopt a code of practice, and that we need to help countries to agree in the recognition of educational certificates, international recognition. Then migration, finally, is a structural factor in the globalization of health services. That is a point of which, because of which we titled this panel as the title is. It must be no other issue in health, more of an international, really international characteristic or global characteristic as the issue of migration, because you cannot solve it within your country. Even you cannot solve it among 2 or between 2 countries. You need more than 2 countries or more of your country to solve this health issue. Then comes the debates. Migration is a problem or a solution. Many times, for a long time, we were approaching countries as migration were a problem. And we were saying, well, you have lots of migrant nurses, so you have a problem here in health. But nobody were responding until we understood that is also a solution for some countries, both at the same time. It's a problem since the services, the health services, has no more nurses or doctors, but it's a solution because it's a factor of mobilizing the economy. Individual rights versus collective rights, health collective rights, social ethics versus individual moral. Migration is what? It's a social process or a social characteristic, or is in fact a political issue, a technical issue, an administrative issue in the sense of the economy issue. Migration, could we say, we talk about migration or international mobility, but not any kind of international mobility, a very complex one, a very conflictive one. And it is a way we must accept that is in fact the way of talking about shortages, imbalances, and inequities. Migration is one characteristic more in the picture of the shortage, imbalances, and inequities, which means the inequities in the access to healthcare. So I'm going to give you some few numbers. The general trends for doctors, migration trends for doctors in Latin America is that there is an intense migration to the United States and Canada. There is an established channel of migration to Spain, even with agreements, and also to Portugal. There is an international cooperation policy of Cuba that you may know. Cuba cooperates through training and also sending teams of doctors to many countries in Latin America and Africa. And then flows within Central America and within the Caribbean and Mexico. There are 17,000 Peruvian doctors have migrated in the last 10 years, and then 12,400 Mexican doctors work in the United States. And then you can see, look here, today in the US, Canada, and the United Kingdom and Australia, there are 1,000 Haitian doctors, which is a very critical number to say, because there are so few doctors in Haiti. And then 1,500 Jamaican doctors, I'm sorry, and now, here, 3,200 from Dominican Republic doctors, and then 2,300 Colombian doctors. This make a picture of percentage, and you see there, there is a flow from the Andean migration to North America, particularly from Colombia and Peru. Then a migration from Ecuador to Chile. There is a channel constituted from the Andean region to Spain. There is the other flow here from Cuba. Cuba have put 25,000 doctors in Venezuela and almost 1,000 in Bolivia. And then this is a thing to say also. This is Spain many times is only a step to United Kingdom and to France. And then here you have the International Cooperation Program from Cuba and some numbers. I don't know if you can see them. You have 500 in Guatemala and Haiti, 100 in Jamaica, 100 in Trinidad and Tobago, 25,000 in Venezuela, 1,000 in Bolivia, and this is only here in the Americas, in Latin America. Then you have some general information trends for nurse migration in Latin America. There is a channel from Central America to Chile, and also from Ecuador to Chile. Then there is another channel from Bolivia to Argentina, and then from Latin America to North America and to Spain and Italy. Nurses from South America migrate intensively to Italy. So intra-regional migration in South America, a permanent flow to Spain and Italy, intra-regional flows in English-speaking Caribbean, and of course from the Caribbean to the US and United Kingdom, and then a flow from the Eastern Caribbean, Mexico, Central America, Haiti, to Europe. You can see there the flows from Central America, we have marked this line to Alaska, not because it's another country, but because it's very intense, the flow to Alaska. We were very surprised about that. But then from to Australia and to South America and to Spain and Italy specifically. The countries there, Belize, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico are the countries with largest migration. And here you have some Latin American nurses working and living in the U.S. Let me tell you that the United States of America has around from 20 to 25% of foreign trained doctors. I hope that I can agree, and with the other, because the numbers are so dispersed. That, but then we have less nurses from foreign trained nurses in the U.S. Around 5 to 10% of foreign trained nurses in the United States. That signifies 1,500 nurses. Is that it? I'm sorry, my English is not that good. But that signifies around, as I say, from 5 to 10%. But I want to remark that only 1%, 1.5% of the foreign trained nurses in the United States come from Latin America. Only 1.5%. But let me tell you something. This 1.5 signifies 35,000 nurses in the U.S. that are a lot of nurses for the countries in Latin America. See, you have here more than 16,000 that have nurses from Mexico. But then, I'm sorry, you have here in Canada, and you can say very few nurses from Latin America traveling to Canada. But look at Haiti, which is the poorest country in our region, and the poorest, and also the lowest density of nurses. You have there what I have already told you, and this is a picture of the foreign trained nurses in the U.S. This is Philippines, 50%, Canada, and India. And India are the most, United Kingdom. And then these all others, which is 12%, includes Latin America. This is what I was wanting to show you. El Salvador has, at this moment, not at this moment, at the moment, 2005, 5,700 nurses in El Salvador. But then 3,100 nurses in the U.S. That means 35% of the nurses in El Salvador are working in the U.S. But then look at Panama, 52.6%. So this is, which means a very, very few, little number for the U.S. means a big number and a big problem for the countries. For Latin American countries. So you have here, I have put this very beautiful and picture, which was appeared in an issue of PAHO, Perspectives, the journal Perspectives in Health, related to an article on migration of nurses from the Caribbean. 83% of the nurses in the region work in Canada and the U.S. The rest, so 17%, are distributed in 40 countries. Then 42% of nursing posts in the English-speaking Caribbean countries are vacant because of nurse migration. And see here, Jamaica, 58%. And Trinidad, 53%. In absolute numbers, those would be very, very little numbers. But in percentage is terrible. I'm sorry. This is like a single example. Migration of doctors in Uruguay, look at Spain and Chile. Those are the destination countries. And then the recruitment industry, that you know that there is at least 281 companies from the US recruiting nurses, and then an unestimated number of Italian recruiters too. So I'm not going to go through the reasons of migration because we already know that, but we need to highlight that there are local conditions that facilitate migration. There are external conditions that facilitate migration, but also personal conditions. And these conditions are like from human nature. Dreaming is a condition for migration. Desire to learn other languages, to learn other cultures, desire for better future for their family, and this is a good thing. This is not bad in relation to migration. Finally, I want to say that from PAHO we are doing great efforts in relation to gather information and also to help countries to agree between them in relation to better conditions for exchange and mobility of nurses and doctors. So increase and specify the studies on migration. I was telling Christoph that we have lots of numbers now, but we need to go in depth in relation to the impact on health services. We don't have that information, and also in the economy. Create and maintain an information and monitoring system. This is part of the code also, the code of practice. Promote the adoption of the code. We have a plan for the region of the Americas. Systematize, disseminate, and share knowledge and experiences. In relation to registration, retention, and agreements, we are promoting the development of a community of practice. And then also promote bilateral dialogue and international dialogue. We are organizing next week, from 2 weeks from now, a regional meeting in Montevideo. Promote the analysis and convergence for international recognition of education. And specifically adopt strategic measures for responsible management of health worker migration. We have created a ministerial Iberian American network for health worker migration, and it's going to be created next in 2 weeks, and for all of you to participate. Thank you for being with us, and thank you very much.